Now, back to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie, Brooks Childress, Tyler Coleman with you here on this Tuesday edition of the program as we get set to go back to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line where we welcome on Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for our weekly chat. Ferg, as always, we certainly appreciate the time. How are things in your world?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing very well. And of course, before we get into what's ahead, which is a very long trip for the Tigers and for those covering the Tigers, let's get to what happened this past weekend in Nashville. 3 wins in 3 days, the second SEC tournament championship for Bruce Pearl at Auburn. Ferg, what stood out to you as the Tigers made this run, and maybe in particular about those last two with Mississippi State and with Florida?
Yeah, it was a super impressive weekend for Auburn. I think it was kind of the culmination of what this team has been built around this year and their kind of identity. And you saw the strengths of that identity come out in the SEC tournament. And the big thing is the depth of this team and the balance of this team. You come into a tournament where you get a double bye, right? And you don't have to play as many games as the other teams that you played. You can take advantage of that. You're a fresher team. You're a stronger team. You haven't had to rely on one guy, one or two guys all year long. And so what happened is on Friday, you go and hammer South Carolina. The game looked very similar to the first time you played them, just because Auburn was an incredibly rough matchup for South Carolina, and they took full advantage of it. And then, you know, you had the flies start dropping there. You know, Tennessee loses. Kentucky loses. Alabama loses. And then all of a sudden, Auburn's the last team in the field after just one day where, you know, they have that rest advantage. So they play Mississippi State and they grind them out and win that game. And then they play Florida, and, you know, a Florida team that was red hot on offense. You know, they just could not keep up with Auburn, and Auburn rotated them and played just incredible defense on an awesome offense and kind of warmed down over time and never really gave them a chance to come back. So, I mean, it was peak Bruce Pearl basketball. It was, you know, when you look at a team that plays 10 deep, you look at a team that shares the ball like they do, you look at a team that, you know, shares minutes like they do, you look at a team that's as close as this one is with its chemistry on and off the floor, they were built to win a tournament like that. And you know, it was a perfect setup for them. They took full advantage of it. And it's great because you never know what you're going to get from the selection committee in the tournament. And as we found out, Auburn didn't get very many favors from them. But, you know, you don't want to have to just bank on, hey, what happens in the field of 68 is what you get at the end of the year. This team played really well all year long and deserved a banner, deserved a ring, and they're going to get one before they even go to the big dance, which is a great accomplishment.
Justin, when you look at the performance this past week up of Nashville for the Tigers, two guys that really stood out this week that really haven't been in the spotlight was Chaney Johnson and Chris Moore. Talk about their contributions to the team, especially this past week.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Chaney Johnson had his breakout, you know, when Auburn lost at Florida a little over a month ago. Chaney, you know, nearly had a double-double. And that was the beginning of the light really coming on for him. You talk about a guy who had to make a transition from D2 to D1. It took him a little while longer to get going, and it was a big jump up. But when it came on, it really came on. And the fact that, you know, Auburn was able to rely on him, he's a big, you know, really good shot maker. He's got a good mid-range game. He's a freak athlete. Great rebounder, great defender, I think. He's one of Auburn's best in both of those categories. And so you love having Jalen Williams out there. But if you can, you know, play Jalen Williams 20, 22, 24 really hard minutes a game and know that you're going to get, you know, 16 to 18 really quality minutes from Chaney Johnson, it just makes you a super dangerous team. So he's a guy who's worked hard, works extremely hard all year long, probably the hardest worker on a very hard working team. And he got to benefit from that this weekend and played really well. And then Chris Moore, I mean, it was just the ultimate redemption story for Chris Moore this past weekend. You talk about a guy who lost his spot in the rotation because he just was not contributing on the offensive end. much at all, and lost a spot. And then Lior Berman's in. Berman had been playing well. He goes down with that injury, and so hey, Chris Moore, you got to come back in the rotation. And he's played really well. He has stepped up. He's given you a few buckets a game, which is exactly what you need out of your ninth or tenth man in a rotation like that. He didn't miss a shot in Nashville. He continues to be, I think, probably one of the best on-ball defenders Auburn has. Great communicator, great rebounder, hustle guy, glue guy. Every team needs a Chris Moore. It's just Auburn needed a little more out of Chris Moore, over these last couple of weeks. He stepped up to the plate. This is a guy who got challenged and really came through. And also, you look at the story, if you want to write the story of the weekend for Auburn, they go into the locker room against Mississippi State, and State had just been kind of smashing them on the boards. It was a close game, but Auburn just was not doing very well on the glass. Chris Moore comes in, challenges everybody, he has a really fiery halftime speech and just challenges his teammates and himself to just step up. Auburn wins the second half battle on the boards. They win the second half. They win that game. Huge, huge weekend for Chris Moore. He doesn't have the stats for an MVP, obviously, from that kind of weekend, but I mean, he was one of the most influential players Auburn had out there, even if, he is not a star on this team.
And then, Justin, Bruce Pearl met with the media today, and I want to take this, instead of looking at an opponent preview here for who they're going to face in the tournament, I want to look at introspectively at this Auburn team. Bruce talked about and compared it to the Tennessee after winning the regular season title a couple weeks ago at South Carolina, has lost two straight to Kentucky and to Mississippi State, two good programs, but they're 0-2 since winning that championship. What does this team have to do to not repeat what happened to Tennessee? Now that they've won a championship, they can go and win instead of losing in their next game, win.
I think it's a mindset thing. I think it's you got to be able to turn the page quickly, and I think this team is it's a very mature team. This is a very close team. This is a team that's very honest with one another. It is one of the closest, probably the closest team I've ever covered, just up close. And I think that's the thing, is like they have to be, vigilant about that. They have to look at this and say, hey, we won the title. We're gonna, that's crazy, but we should be happy. But hey, we got no favors from the selection committee. We got to go to work. We got to go to the other side of the country to play Yale. And then if we win that game, you get either, an upstart UAB team that's playing really well right now, or a San Diego State team that's played well all year long. And then if you happen to get out of that, you're probably playing UConn and Boston. So it's like, for Auburn, you got to look at it and say, hey, this is, take it game by game, one game at a time. And I think they did a really good job of doing that. You look at, the response after they lost to Kentucky, after they lost to Tennessee as well down the stretch. They didn't look ahead. They just kind of took it one game at a time, took care of business, and got the job done, and then obviously caught fire, in Nashville even more. So I think this team has the mental awareness to just kind of say, hey, we got to make sure we don't fall into the same traps. And they've already been talking about it. So I'm not saying they're going to, guarantee to avoid an upset or, anything like that. But I do like the mental makeup of this team. And this is a team that takes everybody seriously. You don't, win almost every single one of your games this season by double digits if you don't just know how to take care of business.
And, of course, Ferg, a lot has been made about Auburn still being a 4 seed despite winning the conference tournament. Where are you on how much those conference tournaments should matter towards the resume and the argument Auburn had to be a 3 seed?
They should matter. I think they should matter. I'm not saying they should be the be-all, end-all, but I think if a team like NC State can play their way into the tournament, NC State, Oregon's another example, if they can play their way into the entire tournament by winning it, why shouldn't the teams that, are already in the field, shouldn't they get some boosts as well by playing well down the stretch? And I think it's crazy, I think part of the problem is that, they don't want to punish teams that lose early in their conference, like a Tennessee or an Alabama or Kentucky, too much. And I get that, but I think it's more of just, help those teams that do well, give them a little bit more of a boost. I think Auburn entered that weekend as a 4 seed and they left as the 3rd 4 seed. Like that, it really didn't do much to them at all, unless the committee was thinking this was a 5 seed, which I wouldn't think that was the case, but who knows. And I think the other thing is just it's an indictment, I think, of the quad system because, you know, I get why it is in place, but it's kind of arbitrary too. Like, you know, take for example, hey, Auburn's 3-7 in quad one games. Ooh, that's bad. They should be a 4 seed. Well, they were one spot away from Mississippi State and South Carolina both being two more quad one games. They could have been 5-7. They could have been a lot. I mean, it would have been very much close to what a 3 seed gets in this tournament, and it's just one spot. And honestly, if Auburn didn't beat South Carolina as badly as they did, that's probably a quad one game. So I fail to see a scenario where you can look at a team's metrics and say, hey, this is a top five team in college basketball on a play-by-play basis, but they're 15th in our look because, you know, they didn't have as many quality wins as we wanted. It's just the definition of a quality win gets skewed. They didn't give enough credit down the stretch of the year, you know, in the postseason for the ones Auburn did pick up. So they got hosed. I mean, they absolutely got hosed. And also, like, I think UConn did as well, because how are you the number one overall seed in the field defending national champion? It's like, okay, the other three, you know, top seeds in your region are the three champions of the three toughest conferences in the country. And that's just, it's a brutal draw for everybody involved. But, you know, Auburn's going to have to, you know, go like they did 5 years ago when they were in the, you know, in 2019. It's a tough road, but, you know, you're going to have to beat them at some point.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. So, Ferg, when we do look at this first weekend for the Tigers, obviously Yale is up first, winner of San Diego State and UAB if Auburn wins. What challenges does this group of teams present to Auburn? Was what matchups should we be looking out for?
Yale's a team that is very Ivy League, and what I mean by that is they play a slow-paced brand of offense. They do not turn the ball over, and they know what they are. James Jones, the head coach at Yale, has been there since '99. He is the third longest tenured head coach in Division I basketball. Him and Mark Few are tied for the top spot. You know what you're going to get out of Yale. You know what kind of offense they're going to run. Their personnel is very similar to what we've seen in years past. Auburn played them 2 years ago here at Neville. The thing with that Yale team is just, I think Auburn's just got to lock down and continue to play high-level defense. It's a Yale team that plays slow. They take care of the ball. I think Auburn's going to be a team that's going to give them a lot of trouble athletically, just try to disrupt them a little bit. If they play really strong, mature, you know, disciplined defense, I think Auburn's going to have an easier time. You know, put them away, and I'm not saying they're going to just blow the doors off of them, but I don't love the matchup from Yale's perspective of trying to hang with SEC athletes for 40 minutes, especially a deep team like Auburn. The other thing with Yale barely plays its bench. They only go 7 deep in their rotation. That is a tough ask against this Auburn team. So, I love that. You know, I think it's a very favorable matchup for Auburn, in round one. Round two against San Diego State or UAB is interesting. That UAB team is not very good on defense. They got into the tournament with a whole lot of shot making, and so they'll have some weapons there. But they're a team that's given up a lot. We've seen Auburn kind of tear up some, especially here recently, tear up some teams that are a little weaker on the defensive end. So I mean, obviously that's a little bit more favorable. San Diego State's the opposite. San Diego State is an awesome defensive team. Jaden Ledee is one of the best two-way players in the country. You've got, you know, a team that went to the national title last year. They returned some guys off of that. So it'd be a really, really tough matchup, I think, in the second round. Auburn would be the favorite there for sure, but that is a much more even, you know, matchup. So, I mean, if Auburn gets out of Spokane and makes it to the second weekend in Boston, they're going to have to earn it because, you know, like I said, the committee did not give them any favors for winning that SEC title.
Ferg, have you ever been to the state of Washington, or is this going to check a new one off for you?
No, I have been to Washington. Last season when Auburn played Washington in Seattle, I did make the trip up there for that one. So I'm seeing the other side of the state of Washington. This Spokane is basically in Idaho, from what I can gather on the map. So it's going to be another part of the Pacific Northwest I haven't hit yet. But I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to experiencing something new. Not really looking forward to the trip, just the travel there in general. Long story short, unless you wanted to pay a bunch of money to get up to Spokane, you had to do what several of us on the beat are doing, which is we fly out of Atlanta tomorrow morning at 7 Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
Which means you guys, we're leaving here about 2 o'clock Central Time to try to get to the airport. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a long day of travel. It's a very, very long flight. You know, it's a pain to get out there. And I know it's a pain even more, like, you know, I get paid to do this. It's a pain, I feel, though, for fans who want to get out there, for players' families who want to get out there. Those are the people you should feel sorry for sure, not some moron who's talking on the radio right now. You know, the thing here, though, is just I'm with Bruce Pearl. Like, you know, the NCAA, I know why they set up the regions the way they do, but there's just not very many good West Coast basketball teams right now. And so somebody gets screwed in this format, you know, pretty regularly. Now, this year was, well, 2 top 16 teams have to go to Spokane. Who are our last two? Hey, Auburn and Alabama. There you go. So it's pretty brutal. You know, I'm looking forward to covering the tournament. It's my favorite time of year. I love doing this. It's my favorite part of the job. But it's a grind, and it's a grind for everybody who's trying to get out there.
He is Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Talk. So, Ferguson, we know you're going to be out there in Spokane. So what can our listeners enjoy from the Auburn Observer this week?
Yeah, I mean, we got a ton of stuff up on the site from Nashville over the weekend. I wrote a story today just – the players and Bruce Pearl in their own words just saying what makes this team different than the rest they've had and that they've been on. I'm going to have a story up tomorrow on kind of Yale and the offense and Auburn's matchup there on the defensive end. You can go ahead and look at that. You know, we had a couple of podcasts recapping everything. Friends of the program came up today. So there's a conversation there that I was part of that was all a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, I'll be heading to Spokane. I'll have coverage from there all week. You know, if Auburn goes to Boston, I'll be going straight to Boston from Spokane more than likely. So, you know, it'll be a fun time. And then also, the Observer, has a bracket challenge. If you want another bracket challenge to submit yourself into, just go to our website. We've got links and all that good stuff where you can, you know, join in there. So auburnobserver.com, sign up. We're still running that special. That's just $5 a month. It's really the perfect time to get in because you're going to get a ton of stuff from this NCAA tournament.
Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today. Justin, as always, we certainly appreciate the time. We wish you very safe travels. I hope you have a lot of fun up there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.